This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Biz Bytes, where we're asking a whole bunch of questions that make you question whether or not life is real or not. A guy has predicted that by the year 2050, humans will be able to attend their own funeral as robots. We're asking you guys whether or not you would attend your funeral and why, depending on what your answer is, of course. We've had a whole bunch of stuff. We've had Instagram responses. We've had Twitter responses. And I did want to get one earlier on, and it said... when I pass, it's painful enough for those who are still living. Why use a robot as temporary relief?
Mm-hmm. But again, that means that depends on them knowing that you're there. If they don't know that you're there, then everything is fine.
Ross Yusuf, he tweeted in, of course, Ross is the guy behind the football show on BFM. He tweeted in and said that he would want to actually be part of this because he would be at the door, not allowing people to actually go in for the funeral.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, I was like, no, stay away.
False alarm, guys.
Let us know what you think. 018-789-8899 on Twitter. On WhatsApp or on Twitter at BFM Radio alongside Instagram. That's also at BFM Radio. Moving on to our next story whilst we wait for those responses about how Google wants you to use their physical security keys because they've been bragging that 85,000 employees have gone an entire year without being phished.
Yes, because of mandated security devices that they're now going to sell to you. So the company announced its new Titan Security Key, which is a device that protects your accounts by restricting two-factor authentication to the physical world. It's available as a USB stick, but also as a Bluetooth device. And there are similar products already out there on the market, like by Yubico and Feitian. And it utilizes the protocol approved by the FIDO Alliance, which means that it will be compatible with pretty much any service that enables users to turn on universal second-factor authentication. So basically, what this is that, you know, with the basic two-factor authentication, it's you put in your password and then a code gets sent to your text or another authenticator app or something, and they've got to enter a second code to access your account. So the idea behind this device is that you will not be able to receive that code if you don't plug this thing in near you into the device that you're trying to log into.
Interesting.
Like
it's a USB drive kind of thing. Yeah.
So it's basically, it requires the USB device to be inserted into your computer or an NFC device to be in close proximity to your device to access the account. So you have to have this physical thing with you all of the time. Mm-hmm. And also because Google's particular device, the Titan device, is also going to use Bluetooth as well. But Bluetooth aside, it's actually unclear what sets Google's product apart from its competitors that have been around already. So in an email to Gizmodo, which is where I got this article from, the company basically said that it would give you even more peace of mind that your accounts are protected with assurance from Google of the integrity of the physical key, which seems to imply that basically they're really relying on the brand recognition.
I was just going to say, it's because it's got Google on it.
Yeah, so maybe it's the kind of thing of like your brain's like, well, if Google is saying that I should need to do the thing and I can have more security, I should do it.
Which actually, I saw this story a week ago or so, and it was from Business Times and the Business Insider, somewhere in the UK, I think. And the title of it was very sort of clickbaity. It's like, you know, all of Google employees have never been phished because of one product.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I read about it, it's about this USB,
dongle
yeah. that you got to plug it in. And it's a device that has been around for a very long time. And then I go like, huh, yeah, you know, it makes sense because there are already financial institutions, the banking sector, the healthcare sector that actually uses this dongle for security purposes because email phishing is a big threat. I think just earlier today at 11 o'clock, I did an interview about business email compromises, and it's, you know, a lot of companies fall for this. They think like, oh, how hard can it be? I'll never fall for an email that's a phishing attack. But now they're really clever and sophisticated. However, though, that article was very much kind of pointing towards this product is really good and Google is using it and stuff. No mentions about Google creating a product they're gonna sell this product and stuff, right? And then a few days down the road, because that article went really viral, and I guess everyone then started going on eBay and Amazon and all these sites to start buying these dongles, where Google then probably, let's release one of our own. Now, my question is, was that article part of the plan itself, in the entire plan of Google just trying to capture the people. So put the fear out first and show like, hey, you know what? If Google as a brand could actually stay away from all phishing emails, then we're going to launch a product a few weeks after that or a few days after that to see how the response of those two articles went, right?
Yeah, and it seems that, you know, there is proof to back up the fact that maybe Google's kind of hopping onto the security train because earlier this year, Google themselves had a statement that only 10% of Gmail users have enabled two-factor authentication. So I do think that they're trying to push it. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to encourage people to be more secure with their devices. But this is the interesting thing. So CNET got a hands-on preview of the Titan key and found themselves locked out of their account and they forgot the device at the office. But fact of the matter is, you know, you send it with the device, that's my kind of question here, is like, we already deal with so much physical stuff and you now have to carry a USB around. You would forget it all the time, right? Mm. So
You put it on your key ring.
Right, but like, I don't know how effective this would be, you know, as a physical device that people aren't used to. Maybe if it becomes like very, very mainstream and people all start using it, then it becomes a way of life, like, you know, your car keys or something like that. But
or what if there is a way where we embed this NFC chip into your finger or, you know, anywhere of your body and then, you know, bin and bang. Well, we are talking would you attend your funeral you were a robot? So, hey, you know, it's a real thing. I know people in Sweden have actually, like, they're one of those, you know, They support biohacking your own body itself, right? And let's, you know, embed chips in ourselves because then they can get through the subway without even buying a ticket. It's just topping up their NFC chip that's embedded within their palm and they just have to put their palm on the machine and bang, the door opens, right?
Simple as that.
So, yeah, if you know, that could be one way to the future because clearly this is like a stop-go measure because phishing emails is a big threat. Millions of US dollars are being lost simply because people just fall for these things.
Yeah.
You may think, I will never fall for this, but go online. There is a few tests that you could do to see whether, you know, do you think this is a phishing email or not. You'd be surprised because, you know, your results may actually be not what you assume, you know, how clever you think you could get away from this.
We have a message, but it's not actually about the funeral story. Ah. It's actually about the gaming story that we talked about. And this is coming from Jasmine, who just says, hi, BFM. As a gamer myself, and also as I have friends who are gamers, I can say confidently that we are not addicted to playing games just because we spend many hours doing it. But if you neglect personal hygiene and health just to sit in front of your PC or console, then that's addiction. There have been cases reported, most of them in South Korea, where people have died from playing
in China
games
too, yeah,
continuously without food or sleep. That's where it becomes a problem. But as for that friend that did not attend the wedding, no offense, but maybe he just didn't really like that friend.
I have a feeling that was the case.
Let's
because he's not a really good gamer anyway. So.
Oh.
Ouch. So much shame being thrown.
Sorry, buddy.
We have to think about, you know, there were just a few years ago when this gaming addiction became a real hot topic, particularly in China. They were creating gaming addiction camps.
Yes.
You know? And the treatment that was going off in these camps was completely inhumane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to be very careful that if you are pushing it out as an official medical condition, you know, it has to be dealt with in a way that people do not misconstrue what addiction is and what addiction is not.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, also, it's not a crime.
Right.
The way sometimes these camps treat these individuals is like they've committed crime.
Right, right, right.
Also, you know, what if one of these kids ends up being like a world champion, Dota champion thingy, and wins like $1 billion and helps the family and, you know, friends around? And, you know, what would that happen then? So anyways, it's a legit problem for a certain few in Korea, China, where they've neglected like their kids and, you know, and unfortunately those incidents have happened, but I don't think we need camps.
I agree. We're going to take a short break. Don't forget, if you want a feedback regarding the story, if you could attend your funeral in the future as a robot, would you go and why? Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio. Time for some music. It is Superstar from Sonic Youth here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.